Episode 101, Over 40 in Vancouver. I'm Roland.
I'm Dale.
Special guest.
I'm Joe Planta.
From?
TheCommentary.ca.
We have, this is episode 101 for us, but Joe has?
I think it's like 22 something. 2200, I think.
2200 and something?
Something, yeah.
Okay, I have to ask, have you had any Pulitzer Prize winning authors on?
Probably about 10 or so.
I would think so.
Yeah.
But you had Conrad Black, right?
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been on in about 8 years, so.
That kind of blew me away. I thought he'd be too arrogant for the likes of us mere mortals.
He was fine. He was delightful. But I haven't talked to him since Trump became president.
We're not talking about Trump or Conrad Black. But no. Did you call him in Australia or England or wherever?
No, he was in Canada.
Okay.
And then...
he did a history book or something.
Yeah,
right?
He did. So he's been on like 3 times, I think. And then when he came to Vancouver for the Writers' Festival, I did the onstage interview, which was the only time I've ever done.
So do you have a favorite?
Of 2,300 interviews or so?
Yeah, just, you know, off the top of your head.
Off the top of my head, probably when you guys were on.
Oh, in 2015, come on.
Because that's the only one that I remember.
That was 2015.
That was
December 2015.
Yeah, it's 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was 10 years
so
ago.
So I was under 40. So I waited until I'm 43 now. So I waited until
too much information.
I waited to come on, you know, once I'm 43, right?
Our interview at your place was delightful. Like, I have never seen such a large personal library, and I loved it.
And unfortunately, it's gotten bigger over the years. It's a mess now. So.
Unfortunately, as long as you don't have to move, it's awesome.
When are you going to have the Joseph Planta awesome book sale?
Yeah, that's the problem. I there's some books you can't part with.
Yeah.
But, you know, last year, my mom's church, they had a garage or a book sale. And so I packed off about
eight
boxes.
Oh, boxes.
Yeah.
Of books. But then I went to the sale and then I bought five books. So I don't, that doesn't really.
You still came out ahead.
Yeah.
I think that's a safe topic. Let's talk about books. What's your, do you remember a book podcast or favorite book of 2025 or 2024?
I'm a judge on this year's BC Book Prize.
Awesome.
And so there's about 50 books that we're reading right now. And
how many books do you read a month?
This is stupid of me to say, and you'll forgive me. I don't read enough because I should read for leisure. Because I have to read for the show, I have to read for the awards, I have to read for, you know, things that I want to do for the show in the future. But I don't read for leisure. And unfortunately, I don't have the eye for fiction, which I think serves me ill, I think. Because I think if I had read fiction and enjoyed it, I think my life would be far richer, I think, than just say boring history. Not that all history is boring.
Interesting. So what's your favorite?
You kind of dodged the question. How many books do you read a month?
I finish probably four.
That's,
but then
that's
pretty
darn good.
I'm juggling eight, maybe.
Four nonfiction a month? Whoa, that's a lot.
No, but that's also, the last month I read one book of poetry, which is not as long as fiction.
Oh, okay. It's not a novel.
No, but I consider that a book.
To read poetry properly for me is slow.
Yeah, like you do have to read it. You do have to read it two or three times.
It's not like you can just whisk through the paragraph. No. And
because there's stuff you miss. It's like a movie, right?
Yeah.
A good movie, at least. There's stuff you miss the second pass.
I actually find it really hard reading poetry.
It is hard, yeah. Especially when I have to do an interview with a poet. But I find those interviews the easiest because you can talk about anything. So if they talk about, say, being worried about age in one poem, I should say, then you can ask them what they think about aging. And why are they afraid of aging? Or what have they seen in aging that scares them the most? And then that's 7-8 minutes of material that they will, you can hear the pauses and you know they're thinking, and that's gold when you're doing a podcast.
That's sweet.
Do you have a favorite poet or poetry book?
Susan Musgrave was so fun to talk to. She was baking bread. So she was baking bread at the same time, and so she had to put the phone down and I could hear her scraping the pan and lifting the lid and doing all that stuff. But she was someone who you could ask anything about. You could ask her about not just what's in the news or, you know, her personal life especially, and she would tell you. And I said, poets are like that, I guess. They just, they do it in solitude, that when they are faced with a microphone, they're willing to bear all, I guess.
I think poets and the good fiction writers are used to like putting themselves out there.
Yeah. Yeah. And then because they have, and they're sequestered, if you will, for a while to write. So when they're out talking about it, finally, they can't stop talking about it, you know?
Do you remember Susan's latest poetry book?
No, I can't. No.
But we'll look it up.
She's
prolific.
She had I think it was one that was nominated for a national prize, I think. So, yeah. But then I talked to Russell Thornton. He's a poet from North Van last week. And yeah, he was another guy that I could talk to anything about. Talk about his family, and he's very private. But he seemingly shared a lot more than he would have, I guess. If he was just sitting around at coffee, I don't think he'd be as expressive as he was in an interview.
Are you calling him via Skype or what are you doing these days?
Just a regular phone. My phone. Still. Yeah. I'm still very analog. Like I have a phone. I have a box on my desk that connects to the phone and that connects to the computer. Now I just realized something that if my computer fails, because they don't, it has a jack in the back. What do I do now? You know, I'll have to call you guys to figure this out, right?
I believe you can get a USB to phone jack converter cable. I believe.
There you go. So.
There are solutions now.
Speaking of analog, we're outside Analog Coffee.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Sitting at whatever this is, the Highland on Kingsway.
Kingsway and Prince Albert, yeah.
Yep.
And they have outdoor amenities, i.e. a covered roof. Nobody's sleeping here either.
Not yet.
Not yet.
No. It's still light out.
Yeah. Yeah. Favorite book of 2025?
That's I can't answer that because I would probably leave something out that I would probably...
Well, one that comes to mind. Doesn't have to be your favorite.
One could be on the judging criteria, and I can't do that.
Okay, 2024?
You know, now I can't remember.
Yeah.
I figured.
But there's one book that I always recommend to people. It's called Father Joe by Tony Hendra. Tony Hendra was National Lampoon. He was the agent in Spinal Tap. And it's a great book about his relationship with Catholicism.
Nice.
And being a comedy writer. And this one priest, this Jesuit priest, who he met early on as a kid and he just grew up with. And it's just a wonderful book. And I read it maybe once every couple of years. Well, I used to read it once a year. Just
what's it called again?
Father Joe.
Father Joe, recommended by Joe Planta.
I have so many books to read. I never reread, although I probably should.
Yeah, I think rereading is easier because you know where everything is. Mm-hmm. So if you need to reread a certain section, you know which side of the page it's on or side of the
internet. I can tell you which books I've reread or that I remember rereading.
It's, yeah.
What was that book? Oh, yeah. For Lives of the Saints. It's a novel.
Oh, Nino Ricci?
Yeah, I love that book. Yeah. Also, the one about Toronto in the Skin of a Lion.
Okay, yeah.
The one that wasn't made into a movie, the one before The English Patient. Same guy.
Oh, Michael Ondaatje, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
See, these are books you mentioned, like Michael Ondaatje's English Patient. I would probably enjoy that as a novel, but getting the time to actually sit down and read it, that's where I fail.
Yeah, if you're kind of reading for work, it's like if you're writing for work, you're never going to write your great novel because...
How long is your Joe review season?
Well, I start doing interviews in mid-August. I start posting in the first day of fall, which is usually September 20-something. And then I go through to May.
Wow.
I try to go through the end of May, but sometimes if I can get away at the middle of May, I'll try to do that.
Interesting.
So I have a different question.
Sure.
One of the things that's impressed me about you is your knowledge of British Columbia media, like a very deep knowledge going back to when I only remember kind of, I mean, I'm older than you are, but you remember the old days far
you
better
grew up
than
in
I do.
Vancouver?
British Columbia, yeah. little bit in Vancouver for a while. And okay. I came back in like the 80s, but what are you still following media that closely locally? And if you are, what do you think of it?
Some of them are friends of mine. And that's the great thing about doing the podcast is I've been able to meet a lot of
people. After 2,000 episodes, you develop friends or enemies or both.
Yeah, that's the enemies too. Yeah, that's a fun part.
I was joking about the enemies.
No, but that's surprisingly true. When it's such small stakes, the people are so thin skinned, and it's not just Vancouver media; it's the media in general.
Yeah.
So, it's sad because they're not the number of outlets to promote. Let's say like books, for example, they're not the number of outlets to promote a book today than there were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 25 years ago.
And you're all self-funded. You've never got an investment, right?
No. And so, now it's easier to get guests, which doesn't say anything about me as much as it says that the market is depleted and they're desperate to get on.
Right.
Promoting, getting on something to promote their book. And unfortunately, yeah, that's the sad part. But, you know, again, you know, I had dinner the other night with a friend of mine who's in his 30s. And he mentioned that he watched the global, he saw something on the global news. And so I took a moment and I was quite surprised by that he actually saw the news and he mentioned this. And there's somebody in their mid-30s still watching this. I'm 43. People my age that I know that I graduated high school with do not watch. They get their news from Instagram.
I don't watch news anymore. I'm still on the old RSS feeds, if you know what those are.
Oh, what, really?
How do you get your news then, Joe?
I read the paper. I read the Globe and Mail on my computer in the middle of the night, you know, at 3 a.m.
Oh, God.
And then I see the Sun and the Province.
How many hours do you sleep a night?
Not enough. Yeah.
More sleep, longer life.
Yeah. But I came today here with 9 hours of sleep. So I'm up so that I can take away from those Monday to Friday, right?
Those are my kinds of hours.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, it's easy to get news nowadays in a way.
Too easy. Will.
Yeah. And so but it's the curation part. And that's where I think. Because as I said, people I know.
Well, the problem is nobody trusts the curators.
Yeah, that's the problem. People get their news from Instagram. I don't know.
There isn't.
I don't trust the Instagram curators for sure. Yeah.
There isn't the money for good reporting either, which
that's
is
true.
Because I mean, that takes real work to research a story, and I hear how much time reporters now have to like produce a story, and there's no way they can research it.
Yeah, I was asked once if I would do a segment on the early edition on CBC. Like a regular segment every couple of weeks. And it had to do with, I had to cover a certain beat. And I figured after a while, one of the reasons why I said no was because that really should be a beat that a regular reporter should do, not somebody from outside of the organization.
Who isn't paid or is paid very little.
Yeah. So yeah. I think even the public broadcaster is pawning off their assignments to other people. I think they have a restaurant reviewer every week. They should have their own restaurant reviewer, just like the Globe and Mail does or the Sun does.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you should just pawn it off to a blogger.
Speaking of restaurants, my favorite non-Chinese author, Fuchsia Dunlop, in 2023 wrote a book called Invitation to a Banquet. It's 32 short, digestible stories.
So to speak.
About Chinese food. So name your favorite Chinese food. Dim sum, vegetarian, char siu pork, barbecue pork, noodles, mapo tofu, whatever. That super, I don't know if you're into Chinese food, that super chili Szechuan fish.
Yeah.
I totally recommend that book, even if you're a vegetarian. There's a lot of vegetarian subs.
Is mapo tofu that stinky tofu that I see?
No, that's different. That's different.
So now
as far as I know,
book, right?
Stinky tofu is not a Filipino cuisine, so that's maybe why you don't know about it.
Yeah, exactly.
The other book that I would sort of, I don't sure I recommend it at this point, is Laurie Garrett's The Coming Plague, written in the 90s about a pandemic. Nonfiction, Joel. Nonfiction.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. Pulitzer Prize winning. She's still alive. She's one of those people who heads towards pandemics. She has been at the Ebola once. She went to H1N1 and SARS.
Having lived through a pandemic, do you think it's wise that we should be reading about something we just lived through?
What I'm hoping is that she does a sequel or that she does a second or third edition.
Yeah.
Because it was the 90s. And she's amazing. And obviously, then she won the Pulitzer Prize. And generally, back then, that was a good,
that was a
indication
good
of curation.
A good arbiter of what was worth reading,
Okay, well, it's been delightful, and it's been 15 minutes.
That's okay.
It's been 15 minutes, or way over. You want to go for another couple?
We had a guess, so.
Want to go for another couple?
If you have a couple.
I have a couple.
Go for it.
So what would you say to new podcasters, Joe?
Well, I would say that you should do it because everyone else is doing it. And then I think the idea is to keep doing it so that, one, you can figure out if you want to keep doing it. And I can't help but think you get better if you do it as often as you can. As with any skill, I think, or any muscle, I think.
At your peak, what was your frequency?
Oh, I was doing something during those months that I was on, from September to May, probably 4 a week.
And now you're down to like 1 a week during the months you're on?
For pretty much, yeah. There's some weeks where I skip, and then there's some weeks where it's like 4.
I would be quite happy that for us to do 1 a week, but we haven't managed to get anywhere close to that.
Yeah. We have had streaks,
streaks. Well, we watched, what was that TV series? Pluribus.
Ah.
If there's something that we both are excited about or both willing to easily talk about.
But also TV. Schedules.
See, now you're the second and third person who's mentioned that show this week. So that's a show, obviously, that I have to see now. If at least 3 people have mentioned it to me.
If you have Apple TV, I would recommend it.
If you believe in triangulation, yes, then you should.
And I should. Okay.
But, I mean, you may not like it, but I think you will.
That's what the person who told me, who I saw at dinner yesterday, said that I would probably like the show. I've never watched Breaking Bad, so I'm at a disadvantage.
I never watched Breaking Bad either. Did you go to a restaurant yesterday?
I did go to a restaurant.
And did you go to a restaurant that wasn't around in 2015?
I'm trying to think now. I think it was around. It was Fable Diner at Main and Broadway. I think that was there.
I think they were around.
Yeah.
I walked by there today.
Did you?
It's super packed for brunch.
Yeah. It was full. I got there just at 6, and it was full for the hour and a half we were there. And then when we left, everyone else sort of left after that.
So you go at 8 o'clock.
You go at 8 o'clock, yeah.
If they're open.
So would you recommend? What'd you eat?
A hamburger and fries. And it was delicious.
Nice.
They're solid. They've been solid since day one.
And that's what my buddy said. He said that he'd seen the restaurant owner on the Global News because of the closure at Broadway in Maine. And he figured that this was a place to go to. So I was happy that we were able to go there.
Yeah, I was very glad to walk by there today because I was at Lucky's Donuts at 13th of Main, which wasn't around 2015, or was it? No, it was.
Yeah.
And I just walked down there to look at the SkyTrain construction, and I noticed that Murmurs, which is run by a half Filipino guy, I had this kind of like, oh, I'm going to go there for chicken adobo because I've been there twice for chicken adobo. And I looked at their website, and it said, open at 11 on Sundays. Guess what? It wasn't open this Sunday. And Instagram didn't say they were close, but then I was discouraged by that.
Yeah.
But then I walked past Fable, and it was awesome, and it was full, and people were happy. Like, you know, you could tell the vibe.
You know, by the way, you mentioned Lucky's Donuts. They're not run by Filipino people, are they?
No. Lucky's Donuts is...
Lee's is, and Vegas Donuts is.
Yes. Vegas is run by Filipino people?
Yeah. This is something that I just learned like a week and a half ago.
So in the last 10 years, have we the rise of Filipino donateurs?
Exactly. Yeah. That's.
I've never heard of Vegas Donuts.
And there's another one at the market.
For King Ed and King Ed and Knight.
Okay.
And if you're not looking for it, you won't find it. I didn't realize it was run by Filipinos. And it's in this horrible strip mall.
Yeah, and which is coming down apparently because you can see the redevelopment.
That's where that Dutch place was.
The Dutch. Yeah.
Oh, the Dutch. Yeah.
Well, there was briefly a Filipino restaurant there.
That's right. Yeah, there was.
And I meant to go because I try to go to every single Filipino restaurant in the city of Vancouver and have failed before they go to business.
Yeah.
But there's also Twin Donuts. There's another Filipino Donuts in the suburbs, and it's good. It's really good.
Yeah, Vegas Donuts is also in the suburbs. I think they're in Coquitlam or even further than that. Port Moody, maybe?
But you'll have to look at the Instagram. But they seem to be doing okay there, but the building's going to go, like you said.
Yeah, that's the problem, yeah.
It's right opposite Save-On. It's in this weird triangle of, you know, the least safe intersection of the city of Vancouver, Kingsway and Knight.
Yeah.
You know, by House of Dozas, Dolce, Palette Coffee, you know, House of Dozes was there in 2015. Dolce wasn't. I mean, a Vietnamese vegetarian restaurant?
Yeah.
In 2015, I would not even thought that. Anyways, we should go.
Well, is it going to be another 10 years before we talk again?
Definitely not.
So when is your
whether it's my show or this show?
Your peak podcasting season is May to when?
September to May.
So we should catch you in July or August.
I'm happy to talk anytime. It's nice to see you both.
Yeah, no, it's great. And there will be no pictures. Well, we'll take a picture, selfie.
Whatever you want.
There's a picture on the website so that Apple can be happy. I am Roland.
I'm Dale.
I'm Joe Planta.
Ciao, ciao.